Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and of course live streaming audio anywhere in the world at www.ktym.com.
Saulutė tekėjo labelį mirgė, o broliai brolužėliai žirgelį balnojo, o broliai brolužėliai žirgelį balnojo.
Well, nothing like taking a traditional Lithuanian song like Solute Tekeo Lapele Mirgeo and turn it into a runaway rocker. That was Kitava from their new album. And gosh, I remember singing that when I was a kid at the Lithuanian scout camp. You know, you go to youth camps and they'd sing that in rounds. The first group, they divide you into three groups, and you know, you'd start Solute Tekeo, and then the second group Solute, and we did it in three rounds. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We sang it all the time. And there we have Solute Tekeo, the three-minute rock version by Kitava on their new album Jamé Mano, also translated, that means my land, Jamé Mano, Kitava's new album. We'll be promoting little snippets of it all day today, because if you help us out here on Independent Lithuanian Radio with a donation, we're going to send you a Kitava CD. Now, we have a limited supply, but for a $100 donation, we will send you a copy of this wonderful CD. There are 14 songs on it. Actually, there's 13, but there's a karaoke version of a couple of the songs on the album at the end so that you can sing along. So anyway, it's like I say, 13 songs, Kitava, Jamé Mano, My Land, available to you, dear supporters of Independent Lithuanian Radio. If you pull out your checkbook and write a check to Independent Lithuanian Radio for $100 or more, but $100 will do it, we will send you a copy of this new album, new CD by Kitava. By the way, I got them personally from the singer in the band. We bought them from her in Lithuania when my wife and I traveled there last fall. And they were wonderful. We got to see them live play at a festival in Šiauliai. They are from Šiauliai, which is in northern Lithuania. And it was a pleasure meeting them. And maybe someday we'll be fortunate enough to have them tour and to come through Los Angeles, because they really have a lot of energy and they're a lot of fun to listen to. Kitava. Anyway, on with the show. Blynų balius is tonight. That is the pancake ball, Lithuanian Mardi Gras, kickoff of the Lenten season. That's tonight at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, 6 o'clock tonight, okay? Now, you should call. You can show up anyway. You know, it's going to be standing room only. And if you've, you know, got a good attitude and you feel young at heart, you know, just go and you'll have a great time. But if you want to have a place to sit and have dinner, okay, you should call ahead. And you should call Dangola Varniena, and you should call her now at 818-249-7574 to assure yourself that you may get a seat. It's a little late in the game, but who knows? It's worth going to, though. It's really just a fun night, and that's all there is to it. And you have a good time. 818-249-7574. 818-249-7574. This is the 51st, by the way, the 51st pancake ball, Blynų balius, all the potato pancakes you can eat tonight, 6 o'clock, corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. 818-249-7574. Then another great time, but for a more serious cause, Kuldunu Pietus for Lietuvos Vaikų Viltis. That's Lithuanian Children's Hope's annual fundraiser, and it is the meat dumpling. Well, I shouldn't say meat dumpling. It could be cheese dumpling, cottage cheese dumpling. Well, let's call it the dumpling lunch. All you can eat, Kuldunai. okay, also known as pierogies, you know, things like that. And that's $40 is your donation. It is served with wine for adults. Children under 12 are $10, and it's all the dumplings you can eat, all the kulduna you can eat. Call Ingrida for reservations at 310-780-0758. I'll repeat that in a second, and that's on February 24th, okay, a couple weeks down the road. February 24th at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at noon. That's a Sunday at noon, the Kuldunu Luncheon to benefit Lithuanian Children's Hope and all the great work they do now, mostly in Lithuania, treating diseases for young people who have no other access to medical care. Rebuilding wings of hospitals, buying medical equipment, just great work they do. $40 next, in a couple of weeks, on February 24th, St. Casimir's Parish Hall, 310-780-0758 for reservations. Oops, and I almost forgot. Before going to the Pancake Ball tonight, there's going to be a Perkunas Day, that's Thunder God Day, sacred rites tonight, held in the Romuva tradition. Romuva is the ancient pagan Baltic religion. And there's a representative here in Los Angeles for the North American Romuva organization. And so far, we have 10 people that have been signed up for the observation of Perkunas Day this afternoon at 4 o'clock. This is afternoon at 4 o'clock in Griffith Park. So if you're interested, you go to East Observatory Avenue and Mount Hollywood Drive at Griffith Park. And that's sort of the intersection from both sides of the hill from Griffith Park coming up where the tunnel is going to or from the observatory. You know, the narrow little old tunnel that goes up to the observatory area, okay? That's where the group will meet, okay? And then the sacred rites in the pagan tradition will be performed at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon today. So you can participate in that, and that's something completely different, I'm sure, for most of you. And after that, go to St. Casimir's and eat all those potato pancakes. If you want more information, just Google Perkunas Day Sacred Rite, okay, or Romuva, R-O-M-U-V-A. R-O-M-U-V-A. You know enough Lithuanian, ladies and gentlemen, that it spells the way it sounds. Romuva, North America. Romuva, North America. Google that, and it'll throw you to a Facebook page. And even if you're not signed up for Facebook, on the very front, you'll get the details of where it is tonight at 4 o'clock. And again, I'm looking at it right now. According to that, 10 people are attending. Sounds interesting. And before we go to break, we will share with you the weather in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. It's 22 degrees tonight in the capital city, and tomorrow, Sunday, it'll only get up to about 29. Overnight tomorrow, 25. And then Monday, Tuesday, a little bit warmer, getting up to 32, 33 degrees through the middle of the week. By next weekend, February 9th, 10th, it'll drop into the 20s again in the capital of Lithuania. Here's another little taste of Kitava.
Jauna naivę pažadėjo nešė vėjas, patikėjo aukštų kalnų, užtekėjo saulės blyksniais, numirėjo aukštam kalne, žalia gyra, žalio gyroj, tėvonyje vėjo mūžiant iš amžinybės, nešė jauną begalybę.
Well, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I'd love to share more of this music with you, but as you know, we've talked about it several times here. We're limited to, you know, something like 30-second outtakes because of some sort of laws regarding artists' rights, even though the artists themselves handed me these CDs and asked me to play them. We have to be mindful of some ridiculous rules about artists not getting paid royalties for playing these songs on the air. So anyway, instead of wasting a lot of time, that's why we're limited to 30 seconds. However, the good news is you, too, can get a copy of this CD, this album, new album by Kithava. How? And that's by writing a check to Independent Lithuanian Radio and sending it to 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard in Santa Monica, and enclose $100 or more, and our gift to you for your generous donation to help keep us on the air will be a copy of this album. Now, some news from Lithuania and the Baltics. Here's a headline: Estonia reverses course on wind power. Now, Estonia will keep an annual cap on the volume of wind energy eligible for subsidies, retracting a pledge to a renewable energy lobby last year to lower power costs and limit the amount of subsidized output, according to the economy minister. This is a Bloomberg story. Wind energy subsidies will be capped at the current total output of 600 gigawatts per year, and so on and so forth. Bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about this before, the pipe dream of clean, renewable energy. Everybody's getting taken in on this. Everybody's getting taken in on this. You know, there's wind power, you know, there's some of the giant wind turbines out in the middle of some forest in Lithuania. Or Estonia in this story. I've seen it. Okay? I've seen it. The money gets funneled to certain special interests. They make a lot of money. Okay? But it doesn't pay off for the consumer. Lithuania's future lies in either or a combination of nuclear power or shale gas, the greatest new bonanza that can be imagined of shale gas underneath the Polish-Lithuanian border. We've been covering that story. We will continue to cover it. Here's another article called Lithuania's Best Future Lies in a Nordic Union. And I'm going to share some of this with you. Again, some wrong-headed thinking, according to me. Okay, this is my opinion. Russia can turn the lights out on Lithuania and the other two Baltic states anytime it pleases. This is the truth. And they can't turn them back on without Russia's permission. Again, the truth. Not only does this small Central European nation, Lithuania, as well as Latvia and Estonia, not have access to the Russian-owned power switch, but to a large extent, it also depends on energy supplies from Russia to power its electricity-generating plants, power that is needed for energy and economic independence. Lithuania, as well as other Baltic countries, being in poor in energy resources, are facing a tough future and are seeking solutions. This is what Dr. Stan Vachaitis wrote in Vilnius in 2011. Also, they published articles stating that Lithuania's dependence on Russia and to a certain degree on the EU should be reduced. Of course, they've also stated that neighbors to the north would be much more attractive partners. The neighbors to the north are the Nordic neighbors, of course, with AAA credit ratings. These countries, however, are successful in many different ways, not least with regard to social welfare, health care, education, rule of law, transparency, press freedom, and so on and so forth. What the three Baltic states now face is that being members of the EU is not enough. It is therefore the opinion of the writer of this column that in tight collaboration with other Nordic countries is the way to go. Okay? Here's the thing, okay? The article states, Lithuania, being poor in energy resources, no longer true. You remember the bill of goods that we were sold in the United States 15, 20, 30 years ago. You know, we're going to run out of oil. We're going to run out of fossil fuel. And guess what? Technology went forward. And despite the fact that the green lobby in this country has literally destroyed the nuclear industry, okay? Despite that, fossil fuels burn over time have burned cleaner, and more of them have been found. We're not running out of oil, and we have found incredible reserves of natural gas in the form of shale gas. Hundreds of years of supply of it. The same thing that's happening in the upper Midwest, that's happening now in Wyoming, Montana, all the way down to Texas, is happening in Europe. And most of it is happening on the Polish-Lithuanian border. This article goes on to say about the, you know, why Lithuania should get together with the Nordic countries. Listen to this. Widely admired for their generous welfare systems, Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden have liberalized their economies in recent years. They account for six of the top eight countries on the Legatum Prosperity Index and boast some of the world's highest savings. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You can talk about the generous welfare system of Denmark, Finland, and Norway all you want. I got news for you, okay? Lithuanian young people are leaving Lithuania. Who's going to pay for a welfare system in Lithuania? Who's going to pay for it? There's no young people to pay for it, okay? So quit the pipe dreaming, okay? Dreaming about, you know, green energy running the country, about wonderful welfare states, so we could be just like Sweden. Yeah, right, that's great, you know? I don't think that 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old Swedes are running away in droves to work in Ireland. Again, wrong-headed thinking from the basis. In case you feel like I'm getting hot under the collar, I am, because I'm seeing this incredible need of young, intelligent Lithuanians, okay, to be perceived as liberal one-worlders. Okay, liberal one-worldedness is going to finish off Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. Okay, more on Russian gas. You'll like this. Lithuania wants the price of natural gas it buys from Russia to at least match the price paid by two other Baltic countries, according to Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius. Okay, now, this is, again, I repeat these things so that those of you who, you know, perhaps, you're busy, and I am so grateful that you allow me to be listened to in your home or in your car. I really am. But I know that a lot of you, in one ear, out the other, when it comes to some of this things going on in Lithuania, and something to, it bears repeating, you need to understand that what we've been talking about is that Russia still controls Lithuania in the sense of energy. They charge Lithuania what they want to for gas, not what they charge everything else. Just imagine if you pulled into your local ARCO station and they said, oh, look, it's Bill Valanciunas. You know, Bill's got to pay $7 a gallon. Everybody else pays the price up on the sign. You see, that's what goes on. Russia sets energy policy politically. If they like you and politically you get along, you get a better price on heating. I think it would be a good objective, Algirdas Butkevičius said, if it were to be reached that the price of gas applied to Lithuania matched that applied to Latvia and Estonia, since the gas pipeline connected to the Kaliningrad region goes through Lithuanian territory. We could probably discuss the rates of transportation. You know, there are things we could guess here. I do not take part in the discussion of these issues and have no inside information, he said when asked about meeting with Gazprom's representatives in Vilnius. Gazprom is the giant Russian gas company, state-owned. But Butkevičius reiterated that Vilnius would not make any concessions to Russia's gas concern, which is Lithuania's sole gas supplier. He added that Vilnius in particular sought to look up to other Baltic countries in pursuit of a more favorable gas price. But Butkevičius earlier mentioned that Lithuania wished that the price of gas be lowered by around one-fifth, or 20%, which tells you that we're paying about 20% more than Latvia. Well, guess what? Latvia has a Russian population, a Russian quote-unquote minority of 49%. Half of the population is Russian, so they get to pay 20% less for gas. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice and fair? And the other problem with the whole thing is that the Lithuanian arm that distributes gas in Lithuania, called Lietuvos Dujos, okay, it's called Lietuvos Dujos, Lithuanian gas, okay, it is controlled by Russia's Gazprom and is suspected of fraud and document forgery when it was asked to provide data to the National Control Commission for Prices and Energy. In other words, a commission was formed by the Lithuanian government to investigate the prices and why they're so high. And now it turns out that Lietuvos dujas is fraught with fraud and forgery. The Lithuanian Prosecutor General's Office and the Financial Crime Investigation Services are conducting an investigation regarding these suspicions and allegations. The investigation has been launched when the government and Gazprom have opened consultations on the possibilities for lowering the price of gas for Lithuania, with the Russian gas giant sticking to its demands that the country scrap plans to unbundle Lietuvos dujos assets to bring them in line with the European Union's third energy package, and withdraw its 1.5 billion euro claim for damages filed with the Stockholm Arbitration Court. So, again, it's political. If Lithuania has anything negative to say about Russia, the price of the heat of the apartment for your grandmother and your cousin in Kaišiadorys is going up. This investigation was launched in November 2012. Two employees of the company were notified of the suspicions. Searches and other procedural actions were conducted at the company's premises on Wednesday. Documents were seized. Lietuvos dujos spokeswoman Sigita Petrikonytė Jurkūnienė would not comment on the statement. Now, meanwhile, you gotta laugh at this stuff. You know, I used to stay away from these conspiracy theories because I figured, you know, everybody's nuts. Sometimes things are just how they seem they are. But, you know, you remember a couple of years ago, a State Security Department officer dies in Belarus, okay? The guy falls from a balcony on, like, the 20th floor and is dead, right? And he's in Belarus, okay? The last dictatorship in Europe. He's investigating... anyway, big scandal. Now, the death of Lithuanian State Security Department officer Vytautas Pociūnas in Belarus was not violent or a consequence of any criminal offense, according to the prosecutor general. Here we go. Evidence collected during a repeated investigation shows that the person's life was not taken due to criminal reliance upon a person or persons, or recklessness or premeditated actions. Consequently, according to the Code of Criminal Process of the Republic of Lithuania, further criminal proceedings are not possible, said the Prosecutor General's office. The decision was released Thursday by Prosecutor Arturas Urbelis, in charge of organized crime and corruption. In his words, prosecutors, in the course of the investigation, received and examined documents from the State Security Department, the Foreign Ministry, the Government Office, the State Border Guard Service, banks, and telecommunication companies. They also examined the place of the incident, carried out two experiments and four specialized tests. In this case, prosecutors also received responses of two countries in their request for legal assistance. They interrogated three specialists and 100 witnesses. Pociūnas died in the Belarusian city of Brest on August 23, 2006, under mysterious circumstances. He fell out of the window of his hotel. The Lithuanian Prosecutor General's office has listed the death as an accident. Murder was one of the initial versions under investigation. So here's a really high-ranking, well-respected officer of the State Security Department investigating corruption in Belarus who just happens to fall out of his hotel window. Yeah. Case closed. You know, I think we can call this Cynicism Day at Independent Lithuanian Radio. Yes, let's be cynical. Okay, we have to change the tone a little bit. Presidency over the European Union will be an intensive and difficult time for Lithuania in the field of lawmaking due to increased workloads, said Ambassador Arūnas Vinciūnas, Deputy Director of the Permanent Mission at the EU. In his words, Lithuania will have to coordinate positions of all member states as well as negotiate with the European Parliament. Consequently, the capacity of handling the challenge well will be nearly the most important priority of the Lithuanian presidency, according to the foreign ministry. As a rule, the presiding country works with 80 EU legal acts. However, in the run-up to the expiry of mandates of the European Commission and the European Parliament for the second half of 2013, Lithuania may have to work with as many as 140 legal acts. Vinčiūnas said at a conference dedicated to cooperation of countries in the Baltic Sea region. Together with partners of the presidency trio, Ireland and Greece, Lithuania will seek objectives shared by all at the EU to restore confidence in the EU economy, promote economic development, and creation of new jobs. Other key priorities include development of energy security, Eastern Partnership, strategy for the Baltic Sea, and protection of EU's external borders. The presidency events will kick off on July 5th with a visit of European commissioners to Vilnius. In November, Lithuania will be the first country in Central Europe to host a conference of information and communication technologies, which should be attended by representatives of the most prominent world companies. Vilnius will also host a meeting of leaders of countries of EU and Eastern Partnership civil society forums, while energy experts from across the EU will gather in a conference on EU's internal energy market. Over the 6 month of EU presidency, Lithuania should hold more than 3,000 events and meetings. About 200 of them will take place in Lithuania, attended by more than 25,000 guests. If you haven't been paying attention, there's a rotating seat where countries are president of the European Union, and Lithuania's turn is coming up. And yes, it's a big deal. It will bring a lot of attention. A lot of tourist dollars will be flowing into the Lithuanian economy. All in all, it's a good thing. Unfortunately, Ambassador Arūnas Vinčiūnas is a little worried because he's going to have to work too hard. On February 7th, more than 100 Baltic farmers will gather in the center of Brussels, the political center of Brussels, to voice their protest over unequal distribution of agricultural funds. Okay? Instead of swinging the pitchfork, they will bring one of the centerpieces of Baltic culture to the EU Council summit. They will form a choir and sing songs from traditional folklore to modern pop in protest. The Baltic Farmers Coalition is not asking for more money, but for the creation of a level playing field in the single European ag market, where production costs are relatively high due to environmental, animal welfare, and food safety standards. In November last year, negotiations on a reform of the common agricultural policy came to a halt when EU leaders could not reach an agreement in the EU Council on the multi-annual financial framework. The Coalition of Baltic Farmers staged a protest at the EU Council meeting in November to advocate a fair distribution scheme of funds in the common European market. Production prices for agricultural goods are fairly equal across the European continent, while farmers in Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania receive far less financial support through the common agricultural policy than their counterparts in other EU countries, such as the Netherlands, Belgium, or Italy. Levels of direct payment to Baltic farmers currently are 46% below the EU average. That's just about half. The budget negotiations are expected to come to a conclusion in February of this year. And as we come to the conclusion of our last half hour, it's come to my attention that I forgot to announce something else on our community calendar that's a little bit further out. It's in April. That's April 14th. Now, you can't forget that day because it's the day before your taxes are due. So April 14th at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at noon, the Birutietes, which is a woman's charitable organization, the Birutietes are going to have their spring banquet, and you're all invited to come and find out more about just what the Birutietes do. That's Sunday, April 14th at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. There'll be a delicious lunch catered by Antonina Uldukiene and Ms. Leko,